question number 10. What do... Let me get your dog's jingle collars out. Says, what do mushrooms, yeast, and molds use for food? It didn't say what they were. But the kids have firmly in their heads that mushrooms, yeast, and molds were plants without chlorophyll. Mm-hmm. And when they saw that group in the three words, they went to the answer. Plants without chlorophyll. And they didn't even read the whole question. It's what do they eat?
Yeah.
And I think there were two people out of 26 that read it all the way through and got it right.
Yeah,
so it starts in.
I had on this test I just graded. There's a part where they were supposed to name the three ways of recording an interview.
What are they? Tape?
The tape, notes, and memory.
Uh-huh.
And it also asked them which one should always be used. There were about five or six out of the 20 that didn't bother to answer the second part.
Mm-hmm.
Or even make a notation of any sort.
Yep.
About what was involved.
Yeah, mine do that a lot. I'll ask them a question and then there'll be a second part that says why or why not.
Yeah.
And that never sinks in.
I don't know. There are three of them. One of them apparently already has a degree in history.
Mm-hmm.
And he's come back because he can't do anything with history. God, his grammar, punctuation, syntax is terrible. His style is terrible.
And he thinks he's going to make it in journalism?
Well, he doesn't really. He's already missed five classes.
He doesn't think he's going to make it in journalism.
I don't know. It's just, I'm going to recommend that he take a remedial English class, even though he's got a degree. Because if he wants to try it in any form of communication, he's got to be a lot better than he is. I think he's living with some person, and he came in one day and he mentioned something about that he was late and he was sorry there'd been a fight with his roommate or whatever. And maybe there are problems that way. I don't know. I just don't want to put in the effort. I don't think he should be in the school right now. If he got one degree and he doesn't know what he wants to do, he needs to take at least a year off before he jumps into something else to make some decent decision. He's not motivated in one area, he's not going to be motivated in another one just immediately afterwards, after getting a degree.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I just trying to figure out how I'm going to handle it with David going down to talk with him. I hate to lash into him in front of David. I may ask him not to come in for a little while so I can fuss at him a little bit.
Yeah. Maybe he could go get a cup of coffee while you talk to
him. Yeah. There were some A students, one A student, real good, made a C. Did terribly on the objective part of the test. They don't have a lot they did in their lab.
Yeah.
Just didn't study. Another A student made a low B. The stories they wrote were all right, generally. The objective portion of the test was terrible.
I think you're like me. You expect them to try harder than you're really going to try.
Yeah.
I said, I think there's no reason that they should know this. We've gone over it. And I don't make allowances for the fact that they might not feel like taking the test. Or they don't care if they make an error. They really don't.
No, that's...
And I always did.
Yeah.
I felt real bad if I didn't make an error.
That's a portion of it. The motivation. But you just have to... that doesn't make any difference on the grade. Makes a difference, I guess, in how bothered it makes me, but doesn't make a difference on the grade. It's unfortunate if they don't feel like it, but if you did it another day, someone else wouldn't feel like it. So
But I have, of course, I'm talking about little kids. But it bothers me, even at this age. Yeah. I mean, normally, they want to do well because it makes the teacher happy, if for no other reason. And I've got a couple of several kids who just don't care. Grades just don't motivate them. And the only thing that motivated them was they weren't going to get to go out and play. If they made a bad grade yesterday, today they're going to have to stay in and not get to go on a break until they check their paper. Mm-hmm. Now that lit a fire on me.
And that's, in grammar school, I think that's a legitimate way to motivate a kid, because they need to know how to read, how to do mathematics and all of that.
Yeah, I'm willing to be real.
They're not
undemocratic with them.
They're not old enough to know what they need, know what they don't need. But these college kids should know better. They may not.
Yeah.
They should be in a position to make decisions. So I won't. If they don't want the grade, if they don't want the knowledge, there's no other way I can try and motivate them. I'm not going to. I fuss at them some. I can't convince them that I really care when I don't. I mean, I care, but not enough to try and treat them like grammar school kids.
But I've heard bad things about the special ed teacher.
Out there?
Yeah. For one thing, there was the girl who really is mentally retarded, a little girl named Paula. And the special ed teacher decided to try to force Paula off into a little art class once a week, so that she would only be taking reading 4 days a week instead of five. And the point is, even if Paula's not a very good reader and will never learn to be a very good reader, what the heck is putting her in a little let's make eggshell mosaics class? What is the point of that? And the point of that is that she's tired of working with Paula. And I can see that. As a little girl, I like Paula a whole lot. She's a sweet little girl. But she's frustrating to be around. Can I tell you the story of Paula and the little math group?
No.
I had about four kids I was working with in the back of the class. Everybody else was doing multiplication and they didn't know their addition factor. And Paula was one of the groups. Well, one day I was doing something else with just two members of the group. They were taking makeup science. And Paula came back and said, "Are we doing math today?" And I said, "No, honey, I'm doing something else. Go sit down." And she didn't understand. "No, we're doing something else. Go sit down." She stared at me with this uncomprehending look on her face. I said, "We're not doing math today. Go sit down." She stared at me and she didn't understand. Finally, I just took her hips, turned her around, said, "Go sit down." And I can understand why the special ed teacher gets tired of her for 5 days a week, because it's like talking to a post sometimes. She really is so mentally retarded that she doesn't understand the simplest instructions a lot of times. And no, the lady just wants Paula out of her hair.
Yeah.
But by golly, that's why she went into special ed.
I agree. What a terrible thought, dear, is it? Our students may never get better. In terms of the groups that come through,
They're getting worse. Cause, well, large class size is part of it, but giving up, I think the, oh, I don't know. I was going to make a generalization about special ed classes and resource rooms, but it's so easy to take the borderlines and put them in a resource room. Mrs. Baker did my mid-semester evaluation, and she congratulated me on what she called my patience. And I'm not really a very patient person. If they're not catching on, and I think they should be, I get frustrated, and they can tell I'm getting frustrated. But what she was really referring to was my stubbornness. I just decided Melissa was going to write her answers out in complete sentences, and by golly, I don't care how much she puts it off and how many little games she plays and how many ways she tries to think up to get out of doing it. I have decided she's going to do it. And most teachers will find it easier. This is just one out of 26 kids, and they find it easier not to be that stubborn. To just throw up their hands after a while and say, is it that important that she write in complete sentences?
Unfortunate. As kids that young seem to need that sort of consistency. And
absolutely. They have to know they can't put it over on you. That this is what I expected yesterday, and it's what I expect today, and it's what I'll expect tomorrow. You can cry, and you can get mad at me.
Do you have any bright kids in the class?
Oh, gosh, yes.
They're exceptional?
Uh-huh. We've got one little boy who's in the gifted and talented class. And I don't, to me, gifted and talented are kids that are graduating from college at 17. Yeah. And I don't think little Jason's going to be like that. But he is real smart. Real smart. And he's almost too much in the other direction. He gets real hard on himself for making a 98 instead of 100. Yeah. And gets mad at himself for making that grade, mad at me for giving it to him. Yeah, he's going to have ulcers if he doesn't learn to calm down. No, there are a lot of good students.
That's one of the advantages of letter grades, is that if it were an A,
it would just be an A. Mm-hmm.
But one of the disadvantages is you get on a borderline, you get a C, even with a 79, say, you really have enough time.
Yeah.
That's what I'm afraid of with brighter students, is that they're getting bored.
Mm-hmm. Why you have to play catch up with the slower ones.
But, since the problem is, if they're bored, it's probably because they think they know more than they really do. Because they still make style errors, and that's something that is going to haunt them forever, so they might as well put the time in now.
Mm-hmm. That's right. They're getting that little bit of hubris thinking that they can go on ahead, and they don't have it right now completely.
Well, I had a girl last fall that made a C. She should have made an A. She just
Yeah,
quit.
I remember her. What happened with her?
I don't know. She was bright. I don't know. See, not knowing the rest of their lives, it may have been something else that caused that. Mm-hmm. Sure it is. Not very serious in one class would be that, but it's rather unfortunate. It bothers me that it could contribute to that frustration. But I try to explain to them. The ones that are brighter, I say, simply that you're going to feel that this class is going too slow for you, but you have to learn that you're always going to have things like that. That are not terribly exciting, so
that's right.
Get out of it what you can. Sometimes I don't think it'd be a better idea just having a competency exam at the end of the semester.
Yeah.
If they pass it, they get credit. If they don't, they don't.
Remember when they put you in the vocational building at Howard College?
Yeah.
In a sense, though, they are learning work skills.
Oh, sure.
You're right. If they can prove they're competent at it, they'll be able to go on. But some of them who grasp the theory and never do learn the skills.
Yeah, well, that would eliminate the teaching, of course. What it would do, though, is just remove the grading or the significance of the grading as the semester goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're changing the alignment of the departments of Southwest Texas.
How do you mean? What's the alignment?
Oh, the colleges, the departments are here. What's wrong?
I didn't install it. Maybe I can install it now.
How important is salt?
Real important. Tastes real not rancid, but real flat. Almost bitter with that salt.
Can you really stir it, or what are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to
put it
on the
need.
Board and knead it in.
Should work, I guess. Right now, the journalism department, for example, is in with criminal justice and ROTC and allied health, which is vocational, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
They're moving into something. I think it's going to be communications. It's going to be in art and music and that sort of department. Never been able to understand the significance of where they put those places. It doesn't really change content. It may change the requirements. Did you have any pretty good problems last week?
With
teaching?
It went real easily. Doing all the lesson plans beforehand, that's not my lesson plans, got all out of order.
Yeah.
But that's life. All the little things you have to remember are so funny. That on Fridays, Mrs. Romhart got put on there. That you always have my weekly reader on Friday.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Where you read my weekly reader.
I remember that.
And so, of course, that meant eliminating one of the English lessons. Because that was my weekly reader.
Do they like the weekly reader?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
that's still a big deal.
Yeah.
And pen pals, I forgot that they owed Easter cards to their pen pals.
Where did they have pen pals?
Saint Somebody de Chantal in New York. It's Mrs. Rummelhart's Catholic, and I don't know if she deliberately picked out a parochial school or not. But oh, did we get meat cards for Saint Patrick's
Day? Yeah.
They went all out for Saint Patrick's Day.
How often do they, what is the holidays that they send each other cards?
Not every couple of weeks or so. The holidays are nice because you don't have to write letters. You can do a fancy card and you can color it.
Well, that's nice. I don't think we did that enough.
No, I don't think we did either. Did you ever have a pen pal?
No, not really.
I had a pen pal in Scotland.
I think when I was young, I think the idea frightened me.
Having to
correspond with some person somewhere who was probably much more interesting than I was.
Well, any place in the world is inherently more interesting than Midland, Texas.
Or wherever you live, I'm sure. Kids have an outlook.
Well,
people in New York, I'm sure kids in New York thought Midland, Texas would be more exciting because that's where cowboys and Indians
But it was neat. We didn't correspond for long. That's the thing about having a pen pal is you've got to be real self-disciplined, more so than most kids are.
Yeah.
Because the joy for them is not sending the letter, it's getting the letter. And so
you have to learn the connection between getting, sending and getting.
That you got to sit down and write. And it's kind of stiff. Because you don't tend to share personal feelings with a stranger. And so here's what happened lately.
Rained yesterday. Mm-hmm. The sun came out today.
But what's nice about doing it in class is that if you sit there like a bump and you don't have any ideas, you can learn from a friend or a teacher or give you an idea.
All right, that's a way of teaching discipline.
And the fun of getting letters.
Is that all about my weekly reader?
Yeah, well, my weekly reader is up to the minute. Last week had an article on industrial waste and acid rain.
What's the slant of it?
Oh, it's just a definition. It just introduces the topic of pollution and what acid rain is.
Say all of you under 5 will probably die of the dioxin poisoning.
And there is no acid rain in Canada, no matter what they say. President Reagan said so.
All of you under 5 will never see a movie on acid rain because it's all propaganda. What does that do to your lesson plans for next week? Are you just going to have to adjust those two issues?
Yeah. What the one I'll really have to redo is math, because the room's pretty evenly divided into a bell curve of about 6 kids at the low end who still need to work on their addition, and 4 or 5 kids at the upper end who can be doing double-digit multiplication and are almost ready for double-digit division. And the ones in the middle who kind of are getting the division, which is a little bit more work on. And my plans were for, here's what the whole class will do. So we'll have to revise those for the different groups.
Well, how do you just physically separate them and
yep.
go by each group?
Mm-hmm. There's a group at the back and a group front and a group sitting at the desk. And this is Roma Park's working with a real slow group. I'm letting the fast group just work on their own. They don't need me. They need me to help them raise their hands. And I've got the groups that can't seem to grasp division.
Do you have visual aids for division?
Yes. Hey, there's a word for that. Manipulative.
Manipulative?
Manipulative. It's like little beans and little paper squares and stuff where they can get a big pile. And you get 25 beans in the bottom, so you got 5 beans in each group. So how many groups do you have? But I'm getting them away from actually having to touch the thing. If I have them have stuff that they can touch and move, just so they get the idea of what the meaning is of division.
Yeah.
It's a large set of objects divided into smaller equivalent sets of objects. And I have him just draw pictures, draw an array.
Wonder when Pace and his mother will be getting this after. Are they going to do some more sightseeing in San Antonio?
Yeah.
Got through with the papers, I just got to type some comments on them. On the stories. Called David today. Called Mark Schmidt today. I'm going to call them off today, too. What else? You got to work on your lesson plans?
Yeah, I've got to do my reading lesson plan and then film what I have to do, but then I have to write out all these questions, type them up like I did last year. That sure worked nicely. It was nice to not have to write questions every night.
Every night, yeah.
I'm going to keep doing that for the rest of the semester.
Mm-hmm.
My kids felt so grown.
Was it tight?
Because it was tight. Hey, they were hot shots.
They liked it?
Mm-hmm. Staple on the inside of their folder just like grown-ups.
That's cute. We'll, you get a job this fall, wherever we'll get you a file cabinet to start.
Yeah, and I've got stuff all over the place.
What we'll do is just start looking for sales. If we see a sale, mm-hmm. something, we can get a one like that one in there, a double one.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get that. I don't know if they'll fit on top of each other. We maybe put them aside or something.
Well, I might end up keeping them at school.
Yeah.
When I get a job, so
it's
pretty handy.
Yeah. I don't even know anyway. I'm starting to fill that stuff up.
Teaching elementary schools is expensive. For you. Christy Tynan was telling me about all the stuff she's bought.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess all teachers do that. This is wrong part because they get allocated. Each teacher gets $80. They go at the beginning of the year. And that's to buy. That's not only games and posters and that sort of thing. That's for staples and everything. The school provides paper and erasers and chalk and room. And everything else you do yourself. Yeah. Out of $80 for the whole year. So teachers, if they want little games, little math lesson games and that sort of thing, activities like that Macmillan Book Company bulletin board thing that I bought.
Yeah.
They pay for it themselves.
Well, just when you do it, we'll keep track of it. It comes off the income tax. And that's, that applies pretty much to all levels.
Oh, yeah.
Thing is, they should have a library or resource center where the school would have, make investments in that sort of thing.
Oh, well, that's what the Education Service Center is for. It has a lot of nice ideas with bulletin boards and that sort of thing.
Where's that? What?
It's up in North Austin, but every place in Texas has an Education Service Center that divided into regions.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, seems like each school would have.
Yeah, they do. The library and the learning resource benefits yeah. and stuff. But most teachers like to have stuff that belongs to them.
Territorial and parish.
Where if the pieces get lost, it's your fault. It's your game.
How many loaves is it, probably?
He's gonna be two.
Two?
That's bigger than two.
No?
He's gonna be cutting a path that won't really be on it.
I wonder if David, wonder if Vicki ever wrote to Sharon and David.
Oh, I bet she did. I'm so excited about her getting that job.
Yeah.
I think David said she'd start work Friday.
Not this Friday, Friday?
Yeah, well, we don't get off.
This week.
College is sort of, we're at least agnostic. Get off good Friday.
I think that's what he said. Which is rather strange to start on a Friday. It's usually Monday.
Yeah, sometimes they'll have people come in on a Friday, though, so they say, here's this, and here's this, and here's this.
Monday,
you
start.
Monday, you walk in Monday.
Yeah. I tell you,
you can meet people so that Monday you've already been introduced to them.
Well, they passed that memo out at work about Vicki being hired.
Did they? Well, me.
Because there's a...
Hey, she's official.
So a woman in one of my seminars that works part-time over there. I mentioned to her, I knew someone that's going to start working in the department there. And she said, oh, yeah, saw a memo. I don't know if I've ever worked in a place where I was introduced to a memo. I'm not sure I'd want to work in a place where I was introduced to him.
Sounds cold. Well, I'm sure that's not the only way you should be introduced, but still.
At the very least, they should have a drawing of your likeness in the memo.
And here's how you recognize. For the first week after a red carnation, you look at. How impressive that she got the first opening in 2.5 years.
I'm sure she had really good recommendations.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Was this an opening that we told her about, or was this one that she found out herself?
No, I'm sure she went up there and interviewed with her. Somebody that she knew to have contacted was involved with setting up a whole another department for public relations and all there. But I think it's much more interesting. That's a year or two down the line. So importantly, once she's in the system, she will be aware of it and can always move to other departments and should something better come up.
Yeah, that's why there hasn't been an opening in 2.5 years, because they just change people around. I hope that salt got distributed throughout there and there aren't any little salt pockets in the bread.
I thought that the other day, I had a sandwich put into it and it was like licking the salt there. And I realized it was probably the peanut butter, which had just been opened and stirred up.
Oh, no.
What do you think you and your folks and all do next weekend?
Oh, we'll probably go to Easter service and go have a nice fancy brunch somewhere and sit around.
I'm on TV working. Me and the dogs just working. Finding a way is in my work. I do need to get out in the yard. The driveway needs to be swept. The yard needs to be cut. I want some line for my weed eater I've got to put on there.
Are you going to be a weed eater?
Well, I hope it goes smoothly. These suburban yard antics are sometimes alien. I guess it was Illinois, just grew weeds in his front yard. And the neighbors complained, he said he was trying to preserve the heritage of the Great Plains.
That's very sad. Did you know that most of the wildflowers that grew in the Great Plains are extinct? Never to be seen again.
You can't be the breadbasket for the world and have your wildflowers too. I bet it was much more impressive when I first discovered the Great Plains than they are now.
Oh, God, yes. The grasses grew 8 feet high. In the spring, it'd be masses of color.
Now the corn grows 8 feet high. Looks like it's going to reach clear to the sky. Because it looks very much like our backyard. It's neat little blocks. Road running between them. Rectangles.
Who was in North Bend with Cary Grant?
Mm-hmm.
And Cary Grant out on a deserted highway dodging crop dusters.
Yeah. Oh, well, that was filmed. I probably filmed it. In Dakota, South Dakota.
Oh, it could be anywhere, Illinois or Nebraska.
Well, they had to go to South Dakota on location to get the Mount Rushmore.
That's true.
So I bet they just shot over the eastern portion of South Dakota, very flat like that. Because it really didn't look that much like Illinois, because when it's rare to just see one patch of corn standing like that. All everything else is plowed under.
Well, they could have arranged with a farmer to do that.
No, I mean just from the landscape. It, just, it did not look like Illinois in the fall. It was probably Dakota. Ooh, what? Y'all didn't say much. Well, sleep. Did you get to watch any TV or anything?
I'm not sure. I forget what I was watching.
Cable.
Oh, there was a terrible movie on the started. It was the last night of the night before after you'd gone. It's Friday night. Mm-hmm. Lawrence Harvey and Frances Nguyen, a girl named Tamiko.
I remember that came out.
Real bad. Lawrence Harvey had good lines like, "You don't know what it's like to be a man without a country."
He appeared in some real bad ones right there.
Why do I want to go to America? Why would anyone want to breathe? Why would they want a family? I watched it for about 5 minutes and then I went to bed.
We'll see next Friday night when y'all are in Houston.
What?
They have the cable over there, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Coconuts is on TBS.
Ooh.
Marsh Brothers. I didn't realize that was made in 1929. But after that year, Kuruku, Beast of the Amazon.
Okay. can't miss that.
With the star of the B horror film, Beverly Garland.
That may be.
Golden Turkey nominee.
Karuka, the Beast of the Amazon?
Yes.
That may be in the list of that.
No, I'm sure it should be. Karuka, yes.
Yes?
That's right. Beverly Garland, the undisputed queen of the bees. John Brumfield stalked the mysterious beast, which seems to be animal, vegetable, and mineral all at once. Photography doesn't help the film much. I have never seen that, so I will, of course, have to stay up and watch it. Did you read last week where the local theaters won the suit over the Swarm?
No.
I think it's 20th Century Fox. It has to pay them about $150,000 or $60,000 because of blind bidding for the Swarm.
Now, what was the basis for the suit?
Companies, film companies, distributors, often require that theaters bid blind for films without having seen them.
Mm-hmm.
And so the bidding's based totally upon who directed it, who's starring in it, and PR releases. What happened with the Swarm is these theaters bid and bought them, the right to show them. And then nobody came to see them, so they lost $50,000. Because they have to guarantee a certain amount of money when they bid for the film. And they were suing because they said that the, I think it's 20th Century Fox, knew ahead of time that they had a stinker on their hands. But they put it out anyway for blind bid. And promoted it as being a good movie when they knew it wasn't. And they lost, and the courts awarded triple damage.
I'll be darned. It was so bad that they successfully argued you knew it was bad when you gave it to
them. Yeah, well, apparently they had some market.
What?
So the lines from Richard Widmark, who's in general. Because I always, about the bees, I always credit my enemy, no matter what he may be, with equal intelligence. Applications
No, but there won't be much to do. They're almost identical.
Are they?
In fact, I think two of them are identical. I think San Marcos and one other place got their applications from the same supply house.
Is there a place you can check on? Openings and all that business? Or?
Yeah, there's a placement office.
Did I say anything about when openings come up?
Well, what they do is tell when interviewers are coming to UT to interview, and they have a board up with openings have been sent to UT.
So it's like recruiting in the business school, right?
Do you cook hot water?
No, I haven't had a cup of tea yet. Thank you.